If you have your Bible with you, you can open with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We will finish the chapter today. And Lord willing, we'll begin in the new year, chapter 4. God's inspired application of the truths that he has been teaching us for a few months in Ephesians 1 to 3. This is the second of Paul's prayer in the Ephesian letter. And so we will read this second prayer from verse 14, but we will focus our attention fully and finally on that ascription of praise in just verses 20 and 21 this morning. Though the flowers wither and the grass fades away, this is the word of the Lord, and it endures forever. God's word, Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend what, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I wonder how many of you have read those two verses many, many times, but really just read over those verses many, many times. What is an ascription of praise? Do you have a quick, ready definition for what an ascription of praise is? Well, let me ask you a simpler question. How do you praise the Lord? How have you this morning, or yesterday, or any time this week, found your heart, your mind, your inner being praising the Lord? How have you done it? What does it look like specifically in you? What does it sound like for you to praise the Lord? And let that sink in your hearts, because I hope this morning, if you say, Jeff, I can't think of the last time I literally praised the Lord, the God Almighty, creator of the heavens and earth, holy in majesty and righteousness, the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, whom we're supposed to be celebrating all this season. What does your praise look like or sound like? Well, I hope this morning to give you many, many reasons to praise the Lord. And I want you to write in your bulletin, I want you to write in that outline, a reason to praise the Lord. Several reasons, any one that jumps out at you. Because I'm going to mention the other ascriptions of praise. There are only three in the New Testament, but I'm going to mention those. But I'm also going to mention other places where God is being praised by the heavenly hosts and all the people of every tongue, tribe, and nation who are already redeemed in heaven. You're thinking to yourself, Jeff, I gotta buy gifts, I gotta get food ready. I mean, you're just completely immersed in this world, aren't you? And I'm talking to you about the heavenly hosts, the place where cherubim and seraphim sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Ultimately, eternally holy, nothing else more holy than this one God. In fact, we'll hear a sevenfold ascription of praise before even my introduction is done. How do you praise the Lord? Because God knows the answer to that, even if you don't. In chapter 1, Paul asked that the Ephesians might know power towards God, that God's power toward the Ephesian people would give them praise. In chapter 3, he asks in this prayer that they might know God's power within them. Do you know that you just sang in that Emmanuel chorus, revealed in us? You're like, whoa, God with us, but revealed in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul says in Colossians 1. Paul concluded his prayer to the Father in verses 14 through 19, which we spent a little time on. And with this brief doxological song, one scholar said, and I loved it, a doxological song. Do you know what that means? It's a song of glory to God. It's a song of honor to God, praise to God. But as you'll see this morning, it's not just praise to God. It's power in you to praise God. It's power in you to glorify the one true God who is holy, holy, holy. To give glory to God is a general description of worship, thanksgiving, acknowledgement of God's goodness, even confession of the one true God. Have you done any of those things this week? Probably so. Maybe you've given adoration or confession or thanksgiving or supplication to the one great God. To ascribe or give glory is found as an exhortation, that is, a command to praise God, but not many times in the Old Testament. God is being declared worthy of praise, to be sure, but the exhortation sounds like this, and it's in your notes. Just circle it if you think this is reason to praise God. Because the psalmist declares, announce his glory among the nations, his marvelous acts among all the nations. Ascribe to the Lord, families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. That's what an ascription of praise is. Just circle Psalm 96, verses 7 and 8. That's what an ascription is. It's to give glory and honor to God himself. Does your heart rise up with any praise when you hear those words? I hope so. Because Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 fills Paul's heart. He's been praying, interceding, supplicating, petitioning God for the people of God that they might know that power. And then all of a sudden, he just ascribes praise to God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all you... Does your heart ever become overwhelmed? Because I'm feeling it right now, even though I may not do it every day. So just guilty, right? I'm guilty of this. But as I say it, I just want to rejoice. I mean, do I believe about God what Paul believed and knew to be true? It's one thing to profess and confess with our mouths. It's another thing to live this faith in our lives, right? We've been learning this a ton in James 2, of course, as in our Sunday school. But the praise, the ascription of praise in the book of Ephesians sounds a lot like the great pictures we see in heaven that I've mentioned already. A sevenfold ascription of praise sounds like this. And some of you might go, well, I think I remember that language. Because it was just 3 weeks ago, Jeff, you referred to it two times in a row. Revelation 7 sounds like this. Verses 11 and 12, I think that's in your notes. Revelation 7, 11 and 12, just hear this praise. This is happening, by the way, right now in heaven. While you're here, probably feeling disconnected from it. But I'm hoping to lift your hearts and your minds to consider what is going on in heaven right now. Something like this. All the angels are standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they are falling on their faces before the throne and worshiping God. And it says they speak this sevenfold description. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's go and pray. I mean, let it well up in you. If you do not have a hook, a prompt to praise the Lord, then take Revelation 7, 11, 12, write it on a card, carry it in your pocket, carry it here on your phone, your tablet, whatever, right? Carry this with you, saints. You will not create the habit of praise
if you do not practice the praise until it becomes a habit in you. Do you hear me? Is that practical enough? We're still in the intro, technically. But this is the kind of applications you can make in all this. This amazing application at the outset is just meant to fill our hearts and verify what we believe about God so that we wouldn't live like hypocrites in this world. Worse, walking right through the season of Christmas without praise filling our hearts because we're so busy with our lists and our to-dos and our schedules and our appointments until we don't love the holidays anymore, right? You know this. The most depressive time of the year is the holidays for people. How is that? May your heart suffuse with praise so that it becomes a joyous time, okay? This power and glory that we ascribe to God, He then bestows upon us. Power, your first major point. Power in verse 20, let's hear it again. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power, where? Where's the power? At work within you. You may at times feel like, oh, no, of course I praise God for He is powerful. No doubt, He is omnipowerful, all powerful. Powers at work within you, Christian, to glorify God, to give Him praise, to endure your temptations and your trials and your struggles and your tribulations and your sin and your suffering. Praise, power of praise of Him who is able, to Him who is able. In the grammar, I'm just going to move just so you get a little different. In the grammar, there's a funny phrase here. Do you know what a compound superlative is? It's what we call exaggeration. Hyperbole, if you want a cool 26-cent word or something. Utter exaggeration. How can you make a superlative greater? How do you make the most the mostest? Remember, Paul, the least of the lesser of the least is the what? The leastest. Bad grammar, great theology. Compound superlative. How can you put a name to the sevenfold ascription of praise that declares the God who is worthy, worthy of all? This is His title. It's like a name of God that you can praise to Him who is able. Him who is able. Write that in your notes. Him who is able is a title. It's like a name of God. And now I'm going to challenge you with this. When Paul speaks this way, only three times, not even Paul, Paul twice, Jude once, Jude 24, I think you have that in your notes. If you don't, it's Romans 16, 25, that's the other occurrence in Paul, and the other is Jude 24. Romans 16, 25, Jude 24, and our text right here, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Just hear the others. In Romans, now, to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Romans 16, 25 may be another place that you could just hold on to and praise Him. Praise the God who is able to strengthen you in whatever you're enduring. Or Jude says it like this: now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. Come on, saints. Is that worthy of praise? The God who is sure to bring us before His presence with joy? We sing joy to the world, but are you singing it without joy in your hearts? Of course, because you're killing me with this. But I'm just being honest, right? I mean, we just pass right through these things. And so I'm trying to slow down and make our minds connect to what we already are doing. God knows. It's we who have to be reminded of how this praise is present for us and the strength of Him who is able to endure as well, to have perseverance and strength to get through what we need to get through. So this title of God, Him who is able, requires me to ask you, do you believe God is able? You might even be able to lift your voice and say, absolutely, to Him who is able, to do far more abundantly than all everyone else needs. Are you with me? Do you believe that He is able to do everything for everybody else, but not for you? That's a lie. Him who is able to do far more than you can ask or imagine. He knows above and beyond what you need. And He has the strength to give it. And the power is present in you, Christian. Is this good news? Okay. Then let's just continue to augment that far more abundantly, above and beyond, super abundant magnitude. I mean, it's like, how do you just, I'm already exaggerated. You know that, right? This is the justification for how crazy I get. Far more abundantly, far more exceedingly, some of your translations may have, than believers can ask or imagine, may give them only faint comfort. Because He can. But will He? Right? God can. But will He? For me. What does your faith say? Is it full of praise to the God who is able? Or is it mostly filled with doubt and unbelief that I believe that for everybody else, but I don't really believe this? I'm just trying to meet you where you might be. If you're filled with praise, don't let me pull you down. Continue to exalt and give the sevenfold description. But if you are low, that's okay. The God who is able can get you out of this too. He is strong, and His power is within you, Christian, because His Spirit dwells in you. You're the dwelling place of God. You're the temple of God here on earth, not only individually, but collectively as the church. And that we'll see beautifully again within us. Paul's prayers of power. The reason we doubt God's ability to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think is that we underestimate the power at work within us. Fun illustration, okay? What was the name of that bunny that went on and on, had his symbols, he was like bling, 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 bling. Well, what's the name of it? Energizer Bunny, right? And how long does it go? Does it go just a little while? Is that what Energizer wants us to think? That bunny just a little while, that bunny can go? How long does it go, Ethan? Everlastingly? Does that 9-volt battery work forever and ever, amen? No? Then let's put all of us, get Energizer Bunnies this morning, we put them out on the highway and we're going to send them out to Cocoa Beach, okay? And on the way, those Energizer, how many make it to Orlando? Right? 9-volt battery energy, 9-volt battery faith. Now imagine those batteries get out and they start getting past Orlando and they get to that Stanton Energy Center, what is it called? The one where we lost power and Orlando was going to go into blackout fears, right? What's that power called out at Stanton Power Plant? Nuclear energy, correct? Nuclear power. If you plugged in all of that nuclear power an hour from here at Stanton Energy Plant, how many people could be raised from the dead? So who cares about nuclear energy? The power at work here raises the dead. The power is God the Holy Spirit who raises the dead. It takes dead people and makes them alive. It takes people who are in darkness and gives them life and light and the love of God. That's the power at work within you today, Christian. Do you believe it? Or do you have Energizer Bunny faith because it just goes on and on and on? No, power of God that raises the dead. This is connected to the resurrection power of God. The power that not only raised Jesus is at work within you because it's the Spirit of God that raised Jesus that raised you. You get my point. The same power that raised Christ. So may we go into this week anticipating that power, right? I'm trying to give you, fill you full of faith so that you go out strengthened to anticipate the trial. The person who, in your family who I'm just throwing it out there might make you a little impatient. Right? It would take nuclear energy, right, for you to actually be patient with the one who makes you feel most impatient, right? No, it's just me. No. Come on. What is it where you no longer show the character and virtue of conformity to Christ's likeness? What is that situation? Write it in the piece of paper. God knows it. You need to know it. And you need to ask God for the strength and power to face that situation this week. The power is in you, Christian. We're just to the glory. Has any of this been glorious? I hope so. Power and glory. So what does the second verse of the ascription of praise say? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Is that what it says? Read with me verse 21. To him be the glory in Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What am I missing? In the church, did any of you notice that? We know glory is in Jesus. But did you know that that power and glory is shared by Jesus because it's in you? It's in the church. God is glorified by his people, the church. And I'm going to dare in about 3 minutes to make applications where God the Holy Spirit actually spends the next 3 chapters making inspired applications of how you can use this power and glory to live well in the church. Chapter 4, all about unity and love in the body. Chapter 5, right? In the marriage relationship and in the family. Chapter 6, as you go into spiritual warfare. As you consider the seriousness of spiritual worship, we need power and glory going into all those circumstances. But first, just see it connected, rooted here, and then it like springs out and radiates through the next few chapters from this phrase, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. So, of course, you know my emphasis here is not going to be on Christ, because we know that, and we're going to glorify him tonight as we rejoice in that miracle of the incarnation, that Christ became man for us. And most often, our attention every week, as it's been even now, to Christ. So I'm going to focus on this lesser known one. God's glory residing in Christ was anticipated in the tabernacle and in the temple in the Old Testament, right? We knew God's glory dwelt in local places in your Bible. Right? In the first 39 books of your Bible, God did show his glory in local places. So he can show his glory through us. Just as he did through Jesus Christ. How does the Gospel of John open? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and what? The Word was God. Right? Came in like light and life in verse 4 of John 1. But then what does it say? In him was life and love and light. But he came flesh and dwelt. He tabernacled amongst us. The glory of God that we celebrate tonight is the tabernacling of God local in the world and local in the church by his Spirit. That power and glory rests in us because Christ, God has been so gracious to share his glory, because to him who is the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. In Christ, this glory was obvious when he came to earth and we celebrate it tonight. But there was a foreshadow of this that we often read in Zechariah. We just heard it mentioned this morning from Zechariah. These great prophecies and promises. But hear this specifically. Sing and rejoice, O church. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. That's Zechariah. Again, chapter 2, verse 10. But it's in verse 11 that it continues this great presence. But the text goes further and says, and many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. God, by his Spirit, dwelling in power and glory in you, church. How many of you woke up thinking about that? May God, by His Spirit, help seal these truths and the emphasis of this, that Jesus would be sharing His glory by emanating it through the presence of His Spirit, which He promised to be with us till the very end of the age, so that we say with the Apostle Paul, throughout all generations, forever and ever. This unprecedented, one scholar says, this unprecedented, extravagant expression tells us that God would share His glory. Yes, because He placed His Spirit in you. And how do we know this is a glorious thing? Because I take you back to the introduction, when we went into heaven together and heard that ascription of praise. Who was it in heaven who was praising God? Was it only the cherubim and seraphim that I read you? No. It was all the angels were gathered around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped. In Revelation 7, it's people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Saints, they're called the church. And they're filled with the power and glory of God in Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. It's they, like we this morning, who join our voices together with the saints and martyrs of every age who were called by God to give Him sevenfold ascriptions of praise. May you grow in praise today because you've studied it like this, because you've thought about it from God's Word. May you use Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, or use Romans 16, 25, or use Jude 24. Or use, on and on we could go, right? Psalm 96, 7 and 8. Any one of these become a prompt for you to praise the Lord. Which do you choose? Is that unclear? Because as I'm making application, I felt so haughty. I felt so proud, so arrogant, so unworthy to make application to your lives. Because I just want you to be filled, and I just want you to, But grab on to one of those and use God's Word to give Him praise. Because God the Holy Spirit chose to apply all of this. And Lord willing, at the start of January, we will be back to study the union and communion that God has done in us in Ephesians 1 through 3, so that we enter into 4 through 6 aware, because there will be a lot of application for the next several months. It will be consistently rooted, though, in this promise of power and glory given to the bride of Christ, the church, who is so fully adorned with grace and beauty and truth and love and righteousness that Jesus is pleased to call her, the church, His bride. And you are that bride if you have received Him and rest alone upon Jesus. This is what gives you the right to praise Him for His power and glory at work within you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us to believe this, to fortify our faith and undermine our own unbelief, to find in You worthy of all glory and honor and power and dominion. May our hearts be full, so that we can't help but feel, as it were, overflowing. You say in Romans 8 that You have poured out Your love through Your Spirit into our hearts. May our hearts then overflow with praise to You, Jesus, as we finish this worship service, because we pray in Your name. Amen.